Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we got a great show lined up for you. Second hour, Jimmy will be here, Jimmy Akin, and we'll do open forum. Call and ask whatever you like about the Catholic faith or about anything else. That's what we do when Jimmy's here. This hour, we have a special guest for you and a conversation I've been looking forward to, and I think that you'll enjoy it, and I hope you'll enjoy it. You're certainly welcome to be involved in the conversation. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. We're going to talk about the Catholic University. What is a Catholic university? And more specifically, our question this hour, what is a Catholic university for? And to help us talk about that, we have the president of one of the finest Catholic universities in the world, President Jonathan Sanford is president of the University of Dallas. Welcome. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
I'm delighted that you came in part because we got to have lunch, and I love lunch. It's my favorite. It's my favorite thing about any day.
It was a great lunch. The fish
it really was
delicious.
A good lunch. Yes. Again, 888-318-7884. So what is a Catholic university for?
What is a Catholic university for? So John Paul II in Ex Corte Ecclesiae identifies three main things that a university needs to be dedicated towards: learning, research, and the benefit of humanity. And I think that people need to recognize that universities, and Catholic universities in particular, play a vital role in our country, renewing it in ways that are of great significance. So I'm happy to expand on that, but you tell me.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because when you think about the great success of the United States, this country, in many fields, one of the things that is attributable to, I mean, we have vast natural resources, we have many wonderful immigrants and all kinds of gifts, but we have we've always had great universities in this country.
Yeah, we've been blessed with a great university system across the country, many of them old, many of them quite new, and they have different shapes, different emphases. And the University of Dallas has been dedicated to a liberal arts education in the purest sense of that since its origins. And but we also have many elements that you identify with large universities, PhD programs in the fields of humanities, DBA, and MBA and MS in our College of Business, but we're most well known for an undergraduate program that includes a core curriculum that takes the students through the seven liberal arts, a heavy dose of literature and theology and philosophy on top of that, fine arts. We have a campus outside of Rome that most of our students spend a semester studying at and traveling through Europe and really becoming deeply embedded in what the European experience means for Western civilization and the Catholic Church, and then majors that are built on top of that. So it's a fulsome university, but the University of Dallas fits into the network of great Catholic and secular universities in this country.
Well, one of the ways to think about a Catholic university, and I think it's how many people think about Catholic education, is Catholic is kind of a modifier of university in that there's a little added something that you get some added value there. Maybe the kids have mass available to them or something. But is that the right way to think about a Catholic university? It's just like every other university, just add a little bit of Catholic stuff in there.
Thank you for asking that question.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
So,
all right, go ahead.
I mean, it's surprising to me how often I hear that perspective, right?
Yeah.
So, as though the foundation is a university and then, sprinkle some Catholic stuff on there.
Yeah, right.
And it's also a mistake, I think, to think about K-12 education that's Catholic in those terms. But a university specifically is born from the heart of the church. It's the church that invented what it is to have a university, what it is to be a university. And I draw a great deal of motivation and intellectual stamina from St. John Henry Cardinal Newman, who in his Idea of a University describes the necessity of a genuine university education as drawing upon each of the disciplines. The students need to understand what it is to think well, what it is to think clearly within the field of the natural sciences, within economics, within history. What is it to think well, clearly, and precisely in pursuit of the truth in each of those disciplines, and then to reflect on how each of those disciplines bear upon each other? That is a Catholic thing, and what undergirds it, and this comes out very clearly in Newman's idea of a university, is that God is the source of all paths of knowing, because as Thomas Aquinas makes very clear, right, his act of knowing and his act of making are one and the same act, and all knowledge converges again on God, right? So there is an orientation from and towards God that is embedded in the very idea of what it is to be a university at all. And I would argue that that's the case, should be the case at any university, regardless of what modifier you attach to it, right? This idea of many turn towards one, right? University. The unification of all knowledge, that's possible when you have a community of learners and researchers who are dedicated to finding the truth in conversation with each other, learning from each other, and both on the faculty side and on the student side, endeavoring on a quest to really discover the source and summit of all knowledge. So without a doubt, those additional features like campus ministry or the University of Dallas, we have two daily masses on campus and Eucharistic adoration and many other opportunities to deepen your faith. And we're surrounded by religious communities, Cistercians. There's a wonderful monastery that abuts campus. We have a Dominican priory on campus where we just announced that we're going to be fundraising and then building a convent for the Nashville Dominicans. And and other Catholic communities are clustered around campus. We're in a good relationship with the diocese, but we're independent from the diocese. We're independent from these other religious communities. What attracts them is the idea of the university itself, the intellectual vision, the quest for living a life devoted to the true, the good, and the beautiful.
So it's not just an accident of history that it's people who had Christ in their heart and had the sense of the one God permeating their lives were the people who invented the modern university. That's where it happened, but that's coincidence.
Yeah, it's not mere coincidence. And here you get this, you asked about the renewal of culture in the context of what a university is for, right? So the church, in her wisdom, not by means of some fiat bringing forth the university from nothing, but there's a history that led to what became the university that received consistent support over centuries, coming out of the monastic communities, the cathedral schools, and so on. But we need really well-educated leaders. We need really well-educated, well-formed doctors, lawyers, politicians. We need those who will leave the institution of the university to build up the other institutions that are of fundamental importance to the mediation of those virtues that enable people to pursue the good in common within the larger political spectrum.
Again, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to have you here. 888-318-7884. Jonathan Sanford, president of the University of Dallas, is here as our guest and happy to talk with you. 888-318-7884. Do you get the sense that I think that there's a growing dissatisfaction with universities in general? I think two things. One, I do think there's a lot of people who have it in their mind now, universities are ripping kids off, that they're coming out with too much debt. They're not getting value that's equivalent. And I don't know however you might calculate value to what they're coming out in debt. And two, they just seem like political kind of, they seem almost to be run by political hacks. I'm not saying that I believe these things, I'm saying that other people believe these things, and I believe these things. So yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think it's true. I think it's true of many universities that in some ways have lost what it is to be a university. And this is why I think this question is so important. It's important in a couple of ways, right? You don't have to dig deep to see some of the crazy things that are going on in universities now. Just think of what happened in response to the October 7th, horrific Hamas attack of particularly the Jewish people in the Holy Land, and demonstrations on campuses. There were Capitol hearings with three university presidents who were unable to articulate a clear set of distinctions about the difference between enabling the free engagement with ideas and positively supporting the genocidal acts that were being celebrated on their campuses. And at the same time, those universities have very tight strictures about other ideological positions, what you can and can't do, what you can and can't say.
People notice the transgender thing. Like at Harvard, if you said, look, there's only two sexes, male and female, and
that'll
get you in trouble.
Okay,
we're not. Yeah, but you could say kill Jews, and it doesn't get you in trouble.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, to say the assertion you just made, that's out of bounds. How dare you say that?
Right.
But to be unable to make the other assertion. Okay. So, in a way, that just shed light on something that has been brewing for a very long time. And then what are you actually studying, right? If you're an English major, are you reading Shakespeare, right? There have been debates about the canon for a long time, and we need to toss out the canon. And then a certain discomfort with explicitly advancing and supporting love of country, right? Not that. Universities are there in order to merely foster patriotic fervor, but American universities are there to help advance the fundamental ideals of America. We want responsible citizens walking out of American universities. And if you're taught that your country is fundamentally unjust, then you're less likely to be engaged in that manner. Fundamentally unjust in the sense of the founding principles of the government. So there are many other things besides, and I think the point of cost is well taken, particularly when a lot of universities have fostered a consumeristic mentality. That is to say, the customer's right, and we're going to present these attractive options. You're going to plunk down your money. The professors are the providers, which no professor wants to be described as, but that's the way economically and in terms of marketing that this proposition has been presented in many quarters. And then I better have a degree on the other end that I can plunk down in front of an employer and be on my merry way, and I'm done with my education. Okay, that's not a genuine education. Obviously, I would argue that no 18-year-old really knows what best to study. The whole endeavor really ought to be undertaken within the context of a genuine friendship between the faculty members and the students. There needs to be a foundation of trust in that relationship. Students need to know that some of the things that they think are the case are wrong. They need to be told, you're writing really poorly, and here's how you do it better, and not wilt, and not feel like, well, you've got to change my grade because I paid my money, and now my degree is imperiled, or my GPA is imperiled. And so that's a very, very unhealthy environment, and it's made the cost proposition really shift in ways that has more bite, because if you think that this is what you're engaged in from an economic point of view, then you're going to be far more demanding and have a sense of entitlement. And now, the administration and the faculty is in one position and the students in another, and that position is one of service provider and customer. And that that is absolutely alien to the genuine ethos of any university and needs to be rooted out. So I'm agreeing with a lot of what you said, but I think it is vitally important, particularly for Catholics, mm-hmm. to not say, so just forget about it. I'm done with this idea of a university.
Right.
And we're going to, you know, do something completely different. And that's often coupled with a tendency to want to surround yourself with a kind of protective wall. But we are called to be missionary people, right? Evangelization, living the faith, and for the University of Dallas, that's particularly significant in the way in which our students and then graduates are oriented towards their professional lives, right? We want our graduates to be the top attorneys, the top surgeons. We put a lot of work into the preparation. This is why we've got a higher med school placement rate than any other Catholic university in the country, because we shower attention on those students. Our professors, not TAs, are side by side working with those students, advancing undergraduate research projects in collaboration with the faculty, presenting at academic conferences, so they're ready to take on the world. So if Catholics who care about the perils of our culture are not attentive to supporting and trying to advance the good work of great Catholic universities, then in a way it's giving up on the future of this country. And this goes back to what I was saying about why the church fostered universities
In the first place. We've got to take a quick break. We are delighted to have as our guest in studio today the president of the University of Dallas, Jonathan Sanford. And if you have questions, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, what is a Catholic university for? 888-318-7884.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Whether you are a seasoned believer, someone exploring your faith, or even if you're simply curious, Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is the place for you. We'll discuss the big questions, explore the richness of our spiritual traditions, and discover the common threads that bind us together. Join us starting Monday, February 5th at 4 p.m. Eastern for Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, only on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Lines are filling up. One line still open, 888-318-7884. You are welcome to get in on the conversation. It's not every day that we have a university president here with us, especially the president of one of the finest Catholic universities anywhere, president of the University of Dallas here with us today, Jonathan Sanford. We're talking about what a Catholic university is for, and you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Before I go to those phones, however, I will invite you again to come with us on our cruise. Catholic Answers is going on a cruise June 29th through July 6th, starting in Montreal, visiting Quebec, St. Anne de Beaupré, and having lots of lectures and talks about Christianity in the New World as we work our way out through Nova Scotia and then down to Bar Harbor, Maine, and to Boston. If you want to know more about the cruise, go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com, CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Use the promo code Pope Peter, and you will get a discount all this month. Use the promo code Pope Peter at CatholicAnswersCruise.com. We'd love it if you'd come with us. 888-318-7884 is our number here. I would just like to ask you one thing, and then I'll go to the callers, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, of course.
But it does seem to me that, I don't know quite how to put this, but that we have a legacy of Catholic universities in the United States that has, to some degree, been squandered. And I'm not trying to get you to criticize anybody, but we have universities founded in this country back to the 1840s and 50s and 60s, and some of which have maintained Catholic identity, some of which had it, lost it, got it back a little bit. And so this whole question of Catholic identity is out there.
Yeah.
Are these the right words to be using? And what do they mean? What does that mean to have a Catholic identity for a university?
Yeah, great question. I could talk about it for about an hour and a half.
Okay,
but I won't do that. You know, if you look at the history, there was a moment in the 1950s where a number of Catholic universities who had really gone a long way in developing their reputation were responding to a prejudice, I would say, that you cannot be serious about your fidelity to the magisterium of the Catholic Church and serious about your commitment to academic excellence at the same time.
Oh, you had to pick.
That's right. You had to pick. And there were a couple of articles written about this that motivated an agreement called the Land O'Lakes Agreement, where a number of Catholic universities divested their power structure from either their religious communities in significant ways or from their local ordinary. And they said, we need to do this so that we can advance the academic vision of our institution. But it was in response to a slur, I would say, that perpetuated and a slur that is so historically unfounded that it boggles the mind that it had such purchase on the minds and imaginations of really good people in places all across our country. Okay. Yeah. So one way in which Catholic identity is meted out, if you want to come at this canonically, it comes down to the local ordinary saying that's a Catholic university. And there are different structures. There are diocesan Catholic universities where the bishop and the chancery has a significant role in its governance. And then there are Catholic universities that are run by religious communities. But many Catholic universities sort of put a bit of a gap between either the diocese or the religious community so that they could protect the academic integrity of the endeavor.
I see. Yeah. So if it's a Franciscan school or a Jesuit or Dominican or something, you kind of bifurcate. There's the community. Over here is the university because we don't want to be under the influence of these religious.
That's right.
I gotcha.
And so here's what I think it's really important for people to realize. Right. Those two go together, Catholic identity and academic excellence.
Yes.
And in fact, I would say that a robust and really virulent effort to advance research and serious learning is a Catholic thing. Okay, this is where universities came from for just that reason. And it would be a mistake to think that it's the job of a Catholic university to function like a seminary. Okay, that's not. Seminaries are great. Retreat centers are great, but that's not what a university is. But that doesn't happen simply because you've got an institutional commitment to the teachings of the church, which Ex Corde Ecclesiae, the apostolic constitution that St. John Paul II issued in 1990, says you need to maintain. And you need to maintain a theology faculty who have permission from the local ordinary to teach theology. That's the mandatum. And you need to have a robust outreach to the student body so that they can deepen their own embrace of the faith through the liturgy and other efforts. Those are not distractions to the academic endeavor because we are not minds who are in bodies and doing one thing in the classroom and something else outside of the classroom. We're integrated wholes, right? We're social, we're rational animals. We live integrated lives. And when you've got a residential experience on your campus, as we do, you need to be really deliberate about your approach to the student life culture, You need to really be thoughtful about the work of campus ministry. And Focus has been a great partner for us as well. They expand the reach of our great campus ministers and our chaplain at the university. But that work is not to be confused with the principal task of advancing knowledge, building the growing body of research, and doing so for the betterment of humanity. Those are the three telloi that St. John Paul II identifies.
All right, all calls when we come back. I've been enjoying the conversation. Sometimes I don't go to the phones when I'm enjoying the conversation. So still just one line open. If you'd like to fill it, 888-318-7884. Back with more conversation about the purpose of a Catholic university right after this on Catholic Answers Live. Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore. Visit whyweirecatholic.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Tomorrow on More to Life, Broken Trust.
Has someone broken or betrayed your trust? We'll help you heal the hurt.
That's tomorrow on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Come on, Dan. Come on, Dan. You're playing the groovy music. I got a university president here, and you're playing that, the groovy music. Oh, he gave us the thumbs up. Okay, I was, for a moment, I was humiliated. I was like a president of one of the most important Catholic institutions in America, and we're playing the groovy music for him. But he gave us the thumbs up, so I'm all right with it. Our guest is the president of the University of Dallas. It's a, you were founded in the 1950s.
Yes, yeah, yeah. We're relatively young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just a wonderful reputation. Lots of folks have come through here who attended the University of Dallas, and they have a sense that they've been through a Catholic experience, which you don't always get. You know, sometimes
that's true.
But also, I think you would agree to this too. Since the 1950s, when University of Dallas was formed, and we're talking with President Jonathan Sanford of the University of Dallas. There has been a wave of very fine Catholic. It does seem like the options for really solidly Catholic places, universities, that universe is expanding.
It's expanding. Many of them are colleges, makes a difference in important ways depending on what you're interested in pursuing. But you know, thanks be to God, that's expanding. And I think it's really important that expansion include that really rigorous attention to academic excellence that we were talking about before, because we need to turn the page on that that bifurcation between fidelity right. and excellence.
Chris is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Chris, thanks for starting us off. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Sanford.
Yes, gentlemen, thank you very much for the opportunity. I have my first child going to college. I went to a Catholic Jesuit university. They formed who I am today in many ways. I'm almost 50. But I'm struggling now as a parent who wants my daughter to have the same experience. I'm struggling with the sticker shock. You know, why should I send her to a Catholic university when it's triple or quadruple the cost when I could send her to a state school for the same type of program?
Thank you, Chris.
That's a great question, Chris. Now, I can't speak for other Catholic colleges and universities, but I can tell you that the University of Dallas is extremely aggressive in our scholarshiping. So almost 100% of our students are on significant academic and other financial support. So our sticker is one thing. The actual cost actually puts us on par with the state universities in Texas. So if you were to look at the, you said you're in Pennsylvania, okay, so University of Pittsburgh, versus the University of Dallas, I would guess that after your daughter were to go through the application process and the academic scholarship and then the financial aid analysis, because we do our own analysis there, and if you had a second child in school, you would in university, we'd give you an additional $5,000 scholarship. We want families who want a Catholic university experience for their children to find an affordable pathway forward, and so don't hesitate to get past that sticker shock.
Okay, Chris?
Very good, thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations on getting one up to college age. Congratulations on that. In McHenry, Illinois, Grant in McHenry, Illinois, listening on WSFI. Glad you're here, Grant. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Sanford.
Absolutely. So we talk a lot about the woke culture. I was wondering how that is manifesting itself in a Catholic university. Is there a response? And then even people like Vic Barron talk about how universities at large, not Catholic universities, are kind of a hotbed for that kind of thinking.
Yeah. So
maybe the students, the response, and kind of the larger ecosystem.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, thanks for that question. I think the most important thing that you should be attentive to when you look at a Catholic university on this particular question is, does that Catholic university have a diversity, equity, and inclusion office or officer? Okay. The University of Dallas does not. That's not because we don't care about the issues that are often in play there, but the Catholic tradition provides resources that are tremendously more significant in thinking about the unity and dignity of each human being and the unity of the human family. So, you know, students who come from high schools or backgrounds where they are taught that you cannot ask certain questions, you should not offend other people, sometimes they, when they come to the University of Dallas, experience a kind of refreshment because all of a sudden, you can actually engage in debate. And we consider it one of the really important features of what we do at the University of Dallas to help our students learn the art of arguing without quarreling. And you do that through the classroom. You do it outside of the classroom. You don't do it by telling people that they're forbidden from raising certain questions or countering a claim. So, you know, I think in the larger ecosystem, it's far more difficult for students to engage in what was very common almost everywhere when I was an undergraduate student, which is to be able to argue about anything. The sense of not wanting to give offense has really sunken in. So that's not a problem at the University of Dallas, but we have to be deliberate about the ways in which we foster that and deliberate about not endorsing an ideological approach that would curtail the ability to really foster that.
Do you get students who don't like that, who want to go back into the cocoon of you can't talk about that, or are offended?
We do on occasion, uh-huh. At least initially. And every now and then there's a little flare up, but as they persist, they see the value of what we do. But it's a small minority.
What do you think, Grant?
That's great. Can I ask one more similar question?
Yes, please.
Do you actively teach the Catholic values of, you know, prudence and you know, these things that most colleges are doing the opposite of?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Boy, you know, you're asking the right guy. He's written about this, Dr. Sanford.
Yeah, I mean, the very structure of our curriculum is focused on fostering the intellectual virtues and the supporting moral virtues. Every student at the University of Dallas takes fundamental courses in moral philosophy and theology, and in fact, the applications in other classes within the core and within the majors are multitudinous. And then we've got an excellent student life office, and so across campus, we are focused on cultivating graduates of great character who have a great desire, a magnanimous desire. So that's a virtue term, to dedicate their professional and personal lives to great and glorious things for the glory of God. That's what we're dedicated to.
Grant, thank you very much for the call and for the questions. I'm going to keep moving just because I would like to make sure everybody who has called gets on with Dr. Sanford today. Going to Dallas, as a matter of fact. Andre is in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Andre, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Sanford.
Thank you. President Sanford, I know a few segments ago you were talking about the importance, and throughout the program, the importance of cultivating the life of the mind of your graduate. And I think part of that sticker shock that was expressed by another caller was also the question of, well, maybe for those who aren't interested in grad school, how will my child fare when they seek employment? So I was wondering if you might be able to share just some of the success the University of Dallas has had in helping folks find gainful employment and sending those who are enriched with a life of the mind out into the world.
Ah, I got you, Andre. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Andre. That's a great question. So we have a very robust internship program. We work with a lot of different corporations. Our students get to try out different career paths, and it doesn't matter whether they're business majors, some of them are, or history majors or what have you. We, through our career planning and placement office, coach those students. They're all given opportunities to learn how to build their resume, how to get into mock interviews. And then we've got an alumni network that is reaching out into our student body, getting students plugged into major corporations. So every university in the United States has to keep track of the percentage of graduates within 6 months of graduation who are employed or in graduate school. And our numbers are extremely high. We're always in the upper 90s with that number. And the exceptions tend to be just a few students who want to take a year off to do something else with their life, and they might have a family of means that would allow them to do that. But our students are employed at a very high rate, and these are career path employments and not dead end jobs, so to speak. Our graduates rise swiftly within corporate structures. So we've got a number of students in Goldman Sachs. Microsoft has been hiring our computer science majors. We're beginning to work with a number of new financial industry, and Fidelity has been a great partner. They hired, I think it was 12 of our graduates recently, and they said, we don't care what the major is. We trust your graduates. We know we can teach them whatever technical skills we need them to have. We need people who can think clearly, who can write well, who can speak eloquently, who are going to be able to creatively contribute to our corporation. And this is part of what I mean by saying that we're a university geared towards producing leaders, because our graduates rise quickly within the corporate structures.
Andre, thanks very much. I would think with businesses like Fidelity, for example, too, as I know people are very cynical about business, but if you're in the financial industry, you need people who have high standards as far as their morals as well, because your entire reputation depends on the morals
of
your employees.
Absolutely, right? You need people of good character who are intellectually adept and creative and able to synthesize things effectively. And the people who are cynical about financial institutions, about politics, about the law, they should be even more concerned to see good, well-formed, thoughtful Catholics placed within those institutions and corporate structures to change things for the better.
Amen. Amen. Andre, thanks very much for the call. More calls to come. Our guest is Dr. Jonathan Sanford, the president of the University of Dallas, which is among the premier Catholic universities in the United States and probably around the world. And if you have a question about the purpose of a Catholic university, as we've had some practical questions about universities, those are welcome as well. 888-318-7884.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
Church Pop takes a fresh and fun look at the news shaping our world, featuring engaging, inspiring, and informative Catholic social media content. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com. And you can get Church Pop emailed directly to your inbox. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Dr. Jonathan Sanders from the University of Dallas. And you're a philosopher.
I'm a philosopher.
That's what you taught philosophy at the university, or you still teach philosophy.
I'm a tenured member of the philosophy department. I still teach on occasion. I co-taught a course last semester and then co-taught two semesters ago. Sometimes by myself. More often now, co-teaching, because I come out to San Diego and talk to the good people at Catholic Answers.
So we take you away from the classroom, in other words. You need a co-teacher. Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. Let's go to Cleveland, where John is listening on AM 1260, The Rock, run by our good friend, the great Bernadette. John, thanks very much for the call. Go ahead with your question. Go ahead.
I have two questions. The second one occurred while I was listening to all the other people. The first is personal to Professor or President Sanders, and the second is institutional. The first question is, you have Cistercians and Dominicans on campus. I was wondering what his own spiritual tradition was.
Personally?
Influence of professor.
Did you mean personally or of the university? Okay. I think I did say Sanders, but Dr. Sanford. I apologize. I think I just said that. So excuse me. I apologize for that.
I've been called worse things.
Well, Winnie the Pooh lived under the name of Sanders. I don't know if you know that, but that's an important fact, Darren. I'm sharing important information. All right. So your own spirituality.
Yeah. Thanks for asking that question, John. I am heavily influenced by a Dominican approach when it comes to thinking about the relationship between faith and reason. I am a deeply Marian person. Our Blessed Mother has a really important role in my own faith deepening over the years. Our family is much affected by that spirituality as well, where we join each other for family rosaries on a daily basis, or at least a decade, if not the whole. The distortions do have an influence on me now in ways that go beyond I didn't have experience with them before I moved to the University of Dallas. So I don't know if that is sufficient detail. I mean, I've got some saints that are really important to me. St. John Paul II is of great significance in my life, and maybe that's related to the way in which Mary has been so important to me. And he had that phrase, you know, totus tuus, and that's the way I try to orient each of my days. And other great saints, St. Jose Maria Escriva is an inspiration in a variety of other ways. My patron saint is Saint Sebastian, and I loved the stories when I was going through confirmation of how he could, be left for dead and get up and get back out there, and that is important to the way I think about what it is to fight the good fight on the spiritual side of things on a daily basis.
John, I may have cut you off. So did you have another question for Dr. Sanford?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And I'm very pleased to see this renewal. I think it's a minority effort still in Catholic education, higher education. And one of the negative things I do see about this, among many of the, for example, the fellow colleges listed in universities in the Newman guide, I detect an anti-science bias in a lot of the institutions, which I think is partly understandable because secularists like to use science to beat up believers all the time. And one of the things that impresses me about Dallas is that they seem to be one of the few institutions which has a vigorous science program.
Yeah. John, that's...
I'm wondering if you could address that, or if that's something you're really working on.
Yes. Thank you, John, and thank you for noticing that. And I think it's, first off, every one of our students take real science as part of the core curriculum with real lab work attached to the science. That is to say, not baby biology or baby physics. We want them to really be pushed and learn how to think like a scientist. But we do a fantastic job in forming future scientists. And we have a wonderful faculty in the sciences, and we always have. We have always had an exceptionally high med school placement rate. I mentioned that earlier. We have a very high conversion rate of undergraduate majors to PhDs. And that's because our faculty, in order for a science major to graduate, they have to work with one of our faculty to put forward a research project. They have to complete that research project, and they have to present it publicly at some academic gathering in order to fully qualify for graduation. And unlike a large research institution, we have our full professors who are already working in a deeply friendship-based intimacy with the freshmen. Right, so we don't outsource the science education. We're heavy on math. There was a study of the conversion rate of math majors to PhDs, and in one of the math areas, we had the highest conversion rate in the country of undergraduate math majors to PhDs. This was in, I think, a 2014 study. So our math and science faculty are very dedicated, very sincere, and I think we often forget that the quadrivium, right? The after you get through the trivium, you've got the quadrivium. Those are science and math heavy ways of studying. So if you say you are serious about providing a liberal arts education and you're not serious about real mathematics and real science, then you're missing something that is at the very foundation of what it is to have a liberal arts education. And so we take that to heart. And one of our great presidents in the past, President Donald Cowan, was a renowned physicist. And he helped to attract a lot of the attention that has built up our science programs. So we want to build more lab space. We want more faculty. Our science majors are growing in number. And we don't get to compete for the big state dollars that the R1s get. But we think it's really important that Catholics of goodwill identify the significance of producing really thoughtful, prudent, well-formed scientists and see that as part of our mission.
Thank you so much for that question, John, and a very insightful question, as a matter of fact. And I do think that I'm sure there are parents listening now, maybe teenage kids, maybe younger than teenage, and had not heard of the University of Dallas, and maybe now you're considering it. I hope that that is the case. Quite an impressive institution, and we have the president of that institution with us for this hour, Dr. Jonathan Sanford, and every line's full. I'm going to just keep going to the phones, if that's all right with
that's
you.
Great.
Cesar in Sioux City, Iowa, listening on 88.1 FM. Cesar, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Sanford.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Very well.
That's good. That's good. So I have my associate's already, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna go for my bachelor's, mm-hmm. and I just want to get closer to God, honestly. And I was thinking about going to school. That's what theology exactly again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
what's theology again?
Well, what is
theology? Is a study of God and what God knows.
Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of like what I'm kind of interested in. Not kind of a lot, actually. Because like I said, I want to get closer to God. And there's a school that I have in mind. And I like this school because they meditate, and that's huge for me. You know, meditating is huge for me. And just calming the mind, especially for a broken life that I used to live, you know. But
We're getting close to the end. Cesar, did you want to ask a particular question, or would you like to get a response to that?
Yeah, so for my bachelor's, I was thinking about enlightened leadership, mm-hmm. But it's not. They don't have no theology class degrees, or they're
You can start with some of the free courses that we offer. We have a series called Studies in Catholic Faith and Culture that can introduce you. You just have to sign up for it, or watch The Quest, which is a mini-series. We've got two seasons that we put together. You can go to our website. EWTN has been broadcasting that series, and that gives you a crash course on a lot of theology, and then take it from there.
Yeah, do watch The Quest. I get that in my inbox, and that's a great service that you've done. I think lots of people are being educated by that. But what do you think about Cesar's point? His attraction to education is he wants to get closer to God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
It does. you know, and there are a lot of ways to get closer to God, and doing so through the pursuit of truth is a tried and true approach, right? So St. Augustine says, credo ut intellego, right? I believe so that I may understand, right? When you're engaged in theology, you typically have the bedrock of faith, but you want understanding so that you can, in fact, really develop your intellectual potential. Knowing the truth, in a way, is getting to know God. And that's not just the case in theology. I would say getting to know the truth about the particle physics is a way of getting to know God better.
Cesar, it's always a delight when you call. I don't know if we've ever sent you the book, Why We're Catholic, but that might be of interest to you. If you'd like to read that, we'll send it to you. Just tell Edgar and we'll send it off to you. Dr. Sanford, I'm really grateful. I really enjoyed this conversation. And I have to be honest, it's been disheartening, the news about universities, and I feel more like my heart is restored a bit, having listened to what's going on at the University of Dallas.
Well, thanks be to God. There's a lot good being done, and a lot more good to be done.
Well, that does it for this hour, but next hour, Jimmy will be here, so it's open forum if you want to call during the break. 888-318-7884 is the number. Ask whatever you like, and please, you don't have to be Catholic to call. Anybody can call. You want to know about Jesus, the sacraments, the saints, the Bible, the moral life? It's all up for grabs. 888-318-7884.